This is Jaguars Post Game. Jaguars Post Game. Katie Shadrick, Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor will break down today's game. Jeff Loggeman will have player interviews and an exclusive conversation with head coach Doug Marrone. Jaguars Post Game is presented by Baptist Health, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars Post Game starts right now.
It's time to party like it's 2007. The Jaguars are in the playoffs for the first time in a decade. A huge win over the Houston Texans. The man to get it done, head coach Doug Marrone, is with Jeff Loggeman. Jeff?
Thank you, JP. Doug, congratulations. Five consecutive wins here at the Everbank Field. And you guys certainly did it in class fashion. You guys had a big win today. Played really well.
Well, you know, we played well in all three phases. I thought, you know, the crowd was great, and that's a big thing, a big plus for us. I know the players were excited about that, you know, putting out a good performance. I told the players before, you know, it was, you know, the quietest this locker room has ever been prior to a game. And, you know, I started thinking, holy cow, you know, here we go. Don't get nervous, you know, don't get tight on me now. You guys have never been that way. And they weren't. And they were extremely focused. They worked hard during the week. And, you know, we've got the win. We're 2-0 in the fourth quarter. And like I told the players, people are going to try to take us to a lot of different places. But the one thing good about this football team is we'll enjoy this win. We'll recognize, you know, what this win means, you know, obviously to get ourselves in contention, you know, postseason. But, you know, we have two games left, and our focus is to, you know, we were able to rest some players later in this game and come back, you know, to work on Wednesday. And let's get ready because we got a long West Coast trip.
The play of quarterback Blake Bortles, simply outstanding. His accuracy, again, continues to be off the chart. And also him protecting the football. He's playing at an extremely high level.
He really is. And you know, it's the thing, you know, and Jeff, you've been here long, and, you know, he's been through a lot. You know, he's a tough kid. And people always ask me what's the best, you know, attribute that he has. And I always say, you know, his toughness. I mean, and, you know, he knows that he has to, you know, play well every week. And he's really been playing extremely well. And he knows that, you know, he's got to keep that going. You know, it was a tough situation today. You know, Marquise Lee gets hurt, you know, early in the game. We got the young receivers in, you know, and they all picked it up, you know, and then made some plays. And, you know, he put the ball where we needed that ball to be. And, you know, we wound up having a lot of explosive plays today.
Well, you talk about the young receivers, and one of them that certainly took a step up today, Keelan Cole, but also Jadon Mickens. I mean, these two guys, young guys, and certainly had a big part in this victory.
Oh, absolutely. And it's been that way offensively throughout the year. You know, I think that, you know, we've had a lot of different people. We've had a lot of, you know, people in the offensive line. We've had a lot of people at running back. We had a lot of people at receiver. You know, so, you know, those guys have all stepped up and been, you know, big contributors. And you can see with some of the young players, they're really developing. They're playing in big games. It's not like they're playing in small games that, you know, maybe – and I hate to say that, you know, every game means something in this league. But, you know, it's a bigger stage. And they're playing well, and they're playing at a high level.
You talk about not wanting to go there, but some of the obvious things that are still there for the taking. As soon as you guys walk into the complex, one of the things up on the side of the wall is win the division. And that is paramount, obviously, in the goals every year, and it's still there for the taking, and it's not closed. It's not a done deal yet. This division's still there.
No, and you're exactly right. And my point to the players is, you know, hey, that's there. And, you know, but for us, what's going to be there first is, you know, an NFC opponent, you know. And, you know, we've got to go out there, and it's a long trip, and we've got to take care of that business first. And because the other stuff will just take care of itself. You just got to go out there each week and just continue to win. And that's you know, it's been what I've been, you know, preaching to this team and trying to keep them focused on those things because, you know, those are the things that we can control. We know, you know, we've got a game this upcoming week, and we know we're playing San Francisco. And, you know, for us, we've got to go out there and win and try to get, you know, the next win and win this quarter.
Your nervousness must have passed on your wife because I saw her in the elevator prior to the game, and you had her extremely nervous. So your nervousness before the game, can you have a little bit more calm to keep her a little bit calmer before the game?
You know what it is? It's like there's some people where you can be that way in front of as a head coach. You know, your wife is one. Coach Coughlin's probably two, you know, in that order, too. I don't want to get myself in trouble. But you don't want to do that in front of the players. You know, I try to, you know, see the players and make sure that they're loose and they're focused at the same time, ready to go. That's why I told them before, you know, a lot of times the locker room, these guys are really loose, but today they weren't. And like I told Coach before we went out, I said, hey, these guys are quiet. I hope it's focused and it's not, you know, feeling anything that they're getting tight. And, you know, obviously by the way they went out there and played, that wasn't the case.
Unbelievable performance and enjoy. Congratulations, Doug.
Great. Thank you, Jeff.
Head coach Doug Marone, the first word with the head coach, Jeff Lagerman outside the locker room, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Dominant win, 45-7, the Jags over the Texans. From a quiet locker room before the game to a loud, loud scoreboard today and a loud crowd inside Everbank Field enjoying the first playoff berth since you were on the team, Fred.
Oh, man. Hey, geez, this is an amazing feeling, even for me. You know, calm before the storm, man. As Coach Marone said, those guys were just focused. They knew, they knew the reward if they had gone out and handled business today, and they did it in high fashion. Last week's game, it was all hype because it's Seahawks and the identical record. But you know,
let's go inside the locker room. Jeff Lagerman has Barry Church, who had an interception today. Jeff,
all right, thank you, JP. Barry, boy, what an impressive win! I mean, it was so much riding on the line. First and foremost, to win at home. To close out five consecutive wins here, but then also to secure a playoff spot, what a big win.
Oh, it was a huge win. Like you said, it was secured the playoff spot for us, and going against a division opponent, and we were able to dominate them like that. It was a huge win for our team, and it just proved that, you know, we haven't had that best of luck here at the bank, you know, the past recent years, but we were able to win five straight here. I mean, that's a remarkable accomplishment, and hopefully it continues for this playoff run.
The performance of your quarterback, Blake Bortles, outstanding. Holy cow, watching him in the last three games and some of the throws that he's had on the deep balls have been money. It's got to be fun to watch.
Oh, it's unbelievable to watch. I'm super happy for him as an individual. I mean, he's taking a lot of drag here these past couple of years. And for him to come out there, especially these last 3 weeks, and just put on a display of, you know, just putting everything on the money. I mean, deep balls, I mean, intermediate, he's been checking it down when he's supposed to. I mean, he's been playing great ball for us. And hopefully he can maintain that going into these playoffs. But, I mean, I'm happy for him as an individual.
You guys have a lot at stake, and obviously the opportunity to watch some games this afternoon. Two games left, the division is still there, and it's obviously not secured, so you guys still have a lot of reasons to play well in these last two games.
Oh, yeah, we just accomplished our first step, which was, you know, getting into the playoffs, but now our second step is to clinch this division, so we're going to be watching a lot of games here this afternoon and knowing that these next two games are just as huge for us. I mean, we've already clinched a playoff berth, but we want to get a home field game here and there, so we'll see what happens with these Patriots and these Steelers and a couple of games going forward the rest of this afternoon. But we did our first things first, and we clinched the playoff berth, and it's the first thing since, you know, shoot, 2007 here, so it's been a great accomplishment for us.
Enjoy it and congratulations.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right, Jeff Lagerman in the locker room. We'll come back. More Lagerman in the locker room after a playoff ceiling victory. 45-7 Jags over the Texans. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
The kick is up. It's good! It's time for Field Goals for Firehouse. You can score a medium Firehouse sub when you donate $5 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more on the Wednesday following the game, get a medium sub with a $5 donation to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation. It's Field Goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse Sub.
Just real quick, obviously, it was a good performance. You know, I told the players in the locker room just then that, you know, before the game, prior to the game, I was probably a little bit nervous because it was probably the quietest, you know, our locker room has been before the game. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, this team has always, you know, been focused and loose. And, hey, let's, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this is me thinking to myself. I'm thinking, well, I hope these guys aren't getting tight now. You know what I'm saying? And that obviously wasn't the case because it's either you get tight or you're more focused. And you really don't know until you put a team out there on the field. And they were focused. And that was a good sign. I thought all three phases played well. I thought that we had a lot of explosive plays. I thought Blake played well. You know, they thought it's always tough when you lose a receiver early, like Marquise Lee. And I thought those young guys stepped up. And I thought Blake put the ball where he needed to. And we had some big plays. And I thought defensively, they did a heck of a job. you know, being able to get pressure on the quarterback and special teams, you know, did a nice job. You know, a couple of penalties, obviously, we have to clean up. It hit a couple of runs that we've got to clean up, and I would have liked to run the ball better, you know what I'm saying, earlier in the game. So I think that pretty much sums it up.
To clinch that playoff spot, do you allow yourself to?
Yeah, I think I'd be a fool, you know, if I stood up here and said, "Hey, listen, I didn't recognize that." Obviously, it's an accomplishment, but you know, for this team, when we had gotten together early, and I've said this before, Ryan, I thought this team could be special. You know, if we put the work in, you know, that's the one thing I kept telling them. So to be where we are right now, I think probably the people that were in that huddle at the when I was talking with the team are probably, you know, the people that, you know, truly believe this is where we would be. And, you know, and I told them, and I'll tell you guys, and I'll see how many guys you can take somewhere else. I said, listen, let's not get taken anywhere else, meaning that, you know, we're 2-0 in the quarter. You know, we haven't won this quarter yet. We got a long trip. It was good to rest some guys, you know what I'm saying, you know, late in the game. You know, we got a West Coast trip coming up. And all those things that everyone's going to talk about, you know, we just got to focus in, put the work in, and go to work and win our next football game. And that's the one thing that this team has done an outstanding job of, you know, being able to focus in during the week, you know, brushing off the stuff that, you know, the game before, meaning learning from it, doing a good job of that, not, you know, celebrating it too far in the week, whether it's a win or a loss, because they have been able to bounce back and they've been focusing on the next opponent and getting themselves ready to go. And I think, you know, I can't control what goes on the outside, but in here, that's how the team is.
How impressed were you with Keelan Cole and also Mickens today, the way they are?
You know, Mick, sometimes, I mean, someone mentioned to me there was an article about him and Pink, you know what I'm saying, with the car or something. I had no idea about it, you know, and it's a great story. But that kid, you know, early on, you know, when he was here in camp, and, you know, he's not the biggest, not the fast, you know what I'm saying, all that stuff, but he was making plays and he had a high level of enthusiasm, had a great work ethic about himself. You know, and at the end of the day, you're like, gosh, we got to, you know, figure out a role, figure out a way to have him on the team. You know, I think that Cole, you know, probably worked as hard as I've ever seen a free agent work. That's the truth. I mean, he, the first guy in, last guy to leave, studying all the positions, picked up the offense faster than I've ever seen anyone pick up, especially no disrespect to the college, but you know what I'm saying? And they probably did a heck of a job. He really picked up everything, was playing all three positions and really working hard. And then it was just a matter going through the year trying to manage. Well, story number one, this is a great story. So someone tells me he's gotten a game check, right? So he's getting paid. And someone tells me that he ordered the mattress, but until the mattress gets delivered, he's sleeping on the floor. So I'm like, are you shitting me right now? When I told him, I saw him, I go, you got to be kidding me. I said, you are sleeping. He's like, oh, no, coach, no, I'm not sleeping on the floor. I'm sleeping on a blow-up mattress. I'm like, get a damn mattress. You know what I'm saying? Because one of the things about young players, you've got it's difficult when you come into this league of how to handle your body and get yourself ready. And I think what we're seeing with Cole is a guy that, you know, came out really fast. Then there was a little bit, you know, hey, you know, getting your legs under you and learning how to practice or learning how to get your body ready to go. And then all of a sudden now, oh, okay, he's got it down. You know, and the only reason why I say that is because you can tell by the way he's performing, you know, and he's doing that in practice. I know it's a long answer, but I just wanted to give credit where credit is due.
Why do you think Blake has been able to put on the performance he has over the last three games? What's the difference?
Well, I think he's still, you know, everyone, you know, this is tough because you don't want to back yourself in. When you start saying, and people, oh, you know, people will contradict this, but this is the truth. he's only been with Nate for X amount of time. We really don't have a lot of time to work, you know, with our quarterbacks. And that's league-wide. And I think Scott and Nate, Scott Milanovic, Nate Hackett, and also Blake, he's just becoming more confident. And I think that's something that came out during the week where Coach Hackett said he's starting to own it. But he's really becoming confident in his footwork, the rhythm. There's some plays today that, you know, they covered well. They really did. I'm talking about the first read and the second read. You know, and all of a sudden the ball comes out or he moves a little bit to the left and hits Cole. I mean, there are some plays that kind of get overlooked because everyone's like, oh, you know, it's checking it down. But he's going from this guy to this guy to this guy. And it's a lot of credit to him. It's a lot of credit for the guys up front because if you don't protect, you know, that's tough. And the personal foul penalty on him, he got hit pretty good, you know. But, you know, I was like, it never enters your mind with him because he's so tough. You know, he kind of got up a little bit slow. But then I saw him on the sideline. When he was walking over the sideline, I'm like, hey, you okay? He's like, I can't repeat what he said, but, yeah, he was okay.
Tomorrow is the one-year anniversary of when Gus got called back and said that they didn't need his services anymore. You became the coach at that point. Talk about this last year. You're 11-5 as a coach in this year and how quickly this has all turned around. I mean, are you even surprised?
Oh, you're talking about, like, in a year.
Yeah, the whole turnaround. The whole
players, assistant coaches, personnel department, you know, I mean, you know, everyone's doing an excellent job despite me.
Hey, Doug, it's 31-0 at the half. I know you said you wanted to run it a little bit better in the first half,
yeah.
But that's about a complete a half of football you're going to see in the NFL, isn't it?
I don't know. We could have ran it better in the first half.
You got full hand and two touch. Tommy does a lot of the dirty work with blocking and stuff. Sure. Is it cool to see him get some limelight there with the two touchdowns? And yeah, is that a good play to use moving forward?
Are we going to write a story on it?
Yes, we are.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's nice. I mean, he does a lot of things that don't get noticed. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the dirty work. You know, he's always, you know, he does a lot of good team stuff for us. You know, I think gets, you know, overlooked a little bit. You know, special teams. You know, he's on special teams. And, you know, being able to go down in there when everyone's geared up, to, you know, to your tailback and be able to, you know, give it to your fullback, have it hit quick and score. You know, obviously, it's a good, you know, a good situation or a good scheme to have. You know what I'm saying? To have someone that you can trust to do that down there.
Has that position done everything you thought it would when you brought it back into this offense?
I want more from Tommy. But I want more for all the players, you know. But, you know, we wanted to do that. We made a strategic decision, you know what I'm saying, that we wanted to play, you know, have a fullback and have a fullback on our team, you know, to kind of go with, you know, our philosophy of our first philosophy was that we wanted to be a physical team. And I just always believe that, you know, when you have a fullback in your offense, you know, you have the ability to work on it. Doesn't mean you're going to be physical, but you have the ability to work on it.
No, you had two straight sellouts in the last 2 weeks. Obviously, the fans seem to be excited about the style of play. You wear black and you have a nasty mentality out there in terms of the way your physical play is about. How do you, does your team feed off of what's going on right now with the energy and the enthusiasm?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. You know, and when you play late in the year and you need to win football games and you have a great crowd and that crowd's ready to go, that helps. I've been saying that for weeks. And, you know, I think that, you know, through this time with all the work that this team's put in, I've said it before, you know, we're trying to earn, you know what I'm saying, the I don't know what the right word is of our fans, but I guess it's, you know, we want to be able to go out there and be able to perform and have them be proud of our performance. And I always think about, and it's hard for us as coaches, is that, you know, when you don't perform well and you don't win, you know, it's very difficult, you know, to wear, you know, your Jaguar gear. You know, it's difficult to wear it, whether you're in an airport or whether you're on vacation or anything like that. And I think that, you know, I know that I'm always trying to win games and push the team and push everyone to be better so that, you know, we can make the people of Jacksonville and the region, you know, proud of this football team. That's always been, you know, what I've tried to do.
And Coach, us against the world is
a
popular rallying point for a lot of teams. Has that been used at all by your guys? There aren't many people around here, you know, around the NFL that thought that winning record or playoffs were a possibility for you coming in.
Yeah, I mean, I said it before. I think, you know, people on the outside might have. We didn't feel that way. I don't use us against the world, you know, per se. You know, I talk about, you know, putting in the work, you know, gaining the respect, you know, and the only way to do it, you know, good football teams win in December, you know. So, you know, we're just trying to keep pushing the players to be better and not really, you know, riding any theme like us against the world, because it's not. You know, we have our fans. We have, you know, the other side of our building and the business section of it. We have our media. We have a lot of people that are with us, you know. So maybe it's all of us against the world. I appreciate it, guys. Enjoy the day.
Congratulations. Yeah, thank you.
Start at just $8. Visit jtafla.com for more information. And hopefully you'll use one for a home playoff game here at Everbank Field. The Jags still have to go win the AFC South to get that done. By the way, a score update. An important 4 o'clock window games. The Patriots at the Steelers. New England scored on a Burkhead run at the 9-minute mark of the first quarter. Roethlisberger just hit Rodgers for an 18-yard touchdown. So with 5:32 left in the first quarter, the Patriots and the Steelers are tied 7-7. It's time for the Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game for
part of the game is taking care of the football. You're not putting your defense in bad situations. So, for me, for Blake, just take care of the ball, man, and everything else will handle itself.
Fred, we think this defense has been the best in the league this year, a dominant performance today. But are there any concerns? What are the weak spots, if there are any?
Okay. Making the playoffs. How's that feel?
It feels good. It's, you know, obviously I think kind of everybody knowing the history of the organization, to be able to say that, you know, we were part of the group that broke that and kind of changed the culture and changed the narrative about the Jaguars is special. But I think it's a never-ending battle, you know, just because you do it 1 week or you do it for a couple of weeks or for one season. It's something that we got to find a way to make consistent on a weekly basis and on a yearly basis.
Three-game stretch has been incredible for you. Do you feel like you've hit a rhythm and a stride?
You know, honestly, I just kind of feel like I've been playing the same the whole time. You know, obviously the results and numbers are a little bit better, but I feel just as comfortable and as confident as I did, you know, 6 or 7 weeks ago. I think guys have started to make unbelievable plays. You've seen Dede and Jadon and Keelan really come on, and the offensive line's been really good. So they've definitely made my job easy and allowed me to give those guys the ball and let them, you know, kind of do what they do best.
Hey, Blake, do you think losing A-Rob and Hearns and Lee today, but do you think kind of making you be a little bit more of a leader with these really young guys, these young receivers, maybe you had to lead a little bit more than as opposed to before? Has that been a positive?
Yeah, it's definitely a different relationship, you know, because I mean, after today, I mean, we've lost our top three receivers, or you would have said going into the season, right? So you're not really supposed to be all that productive on offense after that. And we've continued to find ways to put up points and make big plays, and it's a huge credit to those guys. But that the relationships changed, because with A-Rob and Keeson Hearns, we all came in together. So it's a very close group, and it's a different relationship than talking to a Keelan or talking to a Dede or a Mick, who's been here for, you know, a couple months. So, you know, all I do is try and give those guys all the confidence in the world. You know, not that they need it, because they can go out there and make those plays every Sunday.
When did you actually gain that confidence, Blake? You saw Keelan make some plays in the preseason. I mean, like you said, Jadon showed up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you know, I think really from the start with Keelan being able to get all the opportunities he did in camp, you know, it was kind of the first time that we were like, well, you know, this kid's got a chance to be really special. And the first couple of weeks, we didn't give him a whole lot of targets. And then I forget, maybe an indie game or one of those games earlier in the season, it was kind of, you know, let's figure out if Keelan could play. Let's give him some opportunities to go make some plays. And ever since then, you know, he's kind of been on a tear. And you know, when he does stuff like that, it only gives – Nathaniel the confidence to call those plays, and me the ability and the want to throw him, to give him the opportunity to go make that play. And then Mix, just kind of, he's been that guy. You know, we knew that his explosiveness and his ability to kind of get in and out of cuts in the slot was something special. So we kind of knew, you know, and had the confidence in him that if he had to go in and play and take, you know, a significant amount of snaps, that he was going to be good for us.
Do you see that with Dede in the preseason as well?
Yeah, Dede, I mean, from the start, you know, Dede's been good. Obviously missed a lot of time in the beginning, and he's still, you know, 5, 6, 7 weeks old, and, you know, however many games he's played. And what he's been able to do, I think, has been special. You know, coming from college, obviously the career he had there, but being able to translate that and transfer his game into the NFL, you know, be dedicated to be able to figure out the system and put in the work. He's done a really good job.
Like, if you had to describe in one or two words what your team identity is like, whether it's nastiness or anything, what would be the best way that you can describe what Jags are?
We're winning.
We're black, nasty, or anything like
that? No, I mean, yeah, those are your words.
Okay. Like, looking ahead a little bit, but are you glad you don't have to face this defense in the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, I've kind of said that since camp. You know, it was a long camp going against them every day. We knew from the very beginning that they were going to be special, and they've, you know, shown that every single week. So happy that, you know, they're on our side and we don't have to play against them. The things they're doing, you know, I think the statistics kind of speak for themselves, but it's unbelievably impressive.
You said the confidence level is the same now as it was 6 weeks ago, but it couldn't be the same as where it was this time last season.
Yeah, no, not at all. You know, last season was kind of, it wasn't good. So it's good to not be there anymore.
Blake, you talked about the young kids going to the other side of the locker room. What does it mean to you as a leader of the young core to be able to help guys like Mercedes get back to the playoffs after so long and Paz getting in for the first time as a veteran?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, for a guy like Paz that's never had a winning season in, you know, 10-plus years that he's been playing, is incredible. And then obviously for Sadie's, you know, got there a while ago and hasn't been since. And, you know, the dedication and commitment that both those guys have showed to Jacksonville, because I think, you know, both of them probably could have left at any time and gone somewhere else or had the opportunity to and chose to stay here in Jacksonville and play for this team and this organization. So to be able to kind of reward those guys with, you know, I guess what is now a guaranteed playoff berth is pretty special.
Blake, what has clicked for you since the Arizona game, which, you know, was the last loss, these last three games? Was it something that you mentally had in your mind? Because I lead that up to this coming week, you're making another long road trip out to the West, this time to San Francisco.
I feel, you know, I honestly feel the same going into the game and after the game, or not after the game, but the same going into the game as I did going into Arizona. You know, we just weren't able to execute. There was there was no rhyme or reason for why we didn't play bad. There was just, you know, we missed assignments and made mental errors. And, you know, Doug brought it up last night. You know, offensively, when we cut down our mental errors, we're tough to stop when guys know what they're doing and are kind of executing on point. But it is, you know, kind of speaking to your second question, it's another challenge. It's another West Coast trip. There's a lot of other things going on, being Christmas and the holidays and all that. But there's not a doubt that, you know, our locker room will be locked in, ready to go, and not make the same mistake we did last time.
Blake, you scoreboard watch it all? There's huge games going on right now. You could have a bye, home field. Do you pay attention, or?
You're talking about with Pittsburgh and Tennessee in the games?
Tennessee,
yeah. No, I couldn't tell you what's going on in either of those games. I'll go home and turn them on and watch them. But you know, it's kind of you sit there and you hope something happens for a better position for your team. But I think our destiny is in front of us and in our hands. So that's all we got to worry about is kind of what we're doing and how we're going to be able to get there.
Like being from a few hours away, how much pride do you take in bringing some success to this area, professional?
Yeah, you know, I think it's awesome. You know, obviously growing up, you know, you heard about Brunel and Fred Taylor and Jimmy Smith and Baselli and Keenan and all those guys. And then there was just kind of like a long absence of anything, you know, and I was a part of that for the past 3 years of kind of not really playing good ball. And, you know, to be able to turn that around, you know, I think what Doug's done has been awesome. And you know, like you said, be a part of the team that, you know, is changing the culture. It's tough to put into words. It's special. Unbelievably proud to be a part of this group and play for this organization.
Look, you guys were up 24-0, I think 40 seconds left. They have the ball, throw the pick. I mean, were you ready to go to the locker room at that point? I mean, kind of, what was your mindset?
Yeah, we're kind of hanging out. And I think any time an offense is going to, you know, try to make a play in a situation like that right before half, I think we got to stay ready because our defense can make a play at any minute. You know, they can take one of the house, they can pick one, they can cause a fumble. So we were kind of just hanging out, ready to go if something happens. And, you know, Barry made an unbelievable play.
Blake, over the last couple of weeks, you guys have had a couple sellouts. Obviously, the crowd is starting to really get into it. And this has been a gradual situation getting up to this point. How much do you guys really feed off of what's in front of you, considering where it was, even like they said, about a year ago to where we are now?
Yeah. I mean, it all comes with winning. You know, I think that's the main thing, that's the main key, the main ingredient. People want to come watch a team win. They want to be a part of a winning organization. And now that, you know, we're able to do that and give them that and put a good product out on the field that they can come watch, you know, I think it only makes it, you know, more of an exciting thing for them. And to be able to do it in front of them and, you know, have them be as loud and cheer, you know, like they did in the playoff chant at the end, it's all pretty cool and surreal.
Thanks.
Yard line of the Houston Texans.
73 yards to the one. Tommy Bohannon does the rest.
Bohannon the eye, the fullback. He gets it right up the middle again. Tommy Bohannon into the end zone again. Second rushing touchdown of the day for Tommy Bohannon. Touchdown, Tommy.
38-7. A couple of fullback touchdowns today for the Jaguars, and they cap it off a few drives later. Corey Grant from 8 yards away.
In the under center. The handoff to Corey Grant. It's to the 5-yard line. Corey Grant into the end zone. That was easy. An 8-yard touchdown run. And Corey Grant has extended the lead for the Jaguars.
45-7 is the final score. That's how it happened today. Fred, you were smiling on the fullback touchdowns. You got to give him some love.
Of course. That's always the sneak play. Nobody's ever really expecting that. And obviously, that, you know, they saw someone film. They ran it twice. You know, much like a few other plays that they ran today. They ran them, you know, multiple times. Bohannon, he deserves it.
Didn't he score in week one against the
he
Texans?
He did score in week one, he's got all three of them against the Texans. Yeah. It seems like he scored more this year. I guess he's just been so effective blocking in the running game. It's nice to pay those guys off, Fred. You don't really see too many pure fullbacks left in today's NFL.
I mean, unless you're in kind of a Coach Coughlin type of system, if he has something to do with it, you're going to see a true fullback. Right. But it's not a lot. You know, you said it right. It's not a lot. But you got the old school coaches that believe in, you know, we want to go I formation. That way you run the play action game is a lot more effective. And that fullback is always the guy after a play action fake that tends to get lost in the crowd. You know, and though he's great for, emergency checkdowns and things of that nature.
What would you have done without Greg Jones on your team?
What would I have done? Well, I probably wouldn't have the 10,000 yard, to be honest with you. Greg and I, you know, we work great together. We communicated with each other not a few times, majority of the time. We even go off script and say, you know what, we're not going to do that. Sorry, coach. We're going to do what we feel. And because we communicated so well with each other, I mean, we trusted each other. You know, he trusted that I was going to listen to what he said. It's like, Fred, I feel like blocking him outside in this play, you know, because of how he attacked me the previous play. Like, all right, cool, I'll just cut inside. So, you know, that type of chemistry worked wonders for us.
Statute of limitations is up. So he can reveal.
You're right. But, you know, and I think, you know, he got the short stick because he should have definitely made a couple Pro Bowls.
We'll come back. The Everbank Stats Check right around the corner. We'll pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game down the road a bit as well. Jags win 45-7. They're headed to the playoffs for the first time since the 2007 season. And this is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
At Everbank, defined by performance isn't just a tagline. They live it. So if you're looking to buy a house or refinance a mortgage, it's time to call your hometown lending specialists. They're ready to put in the work for you with competitive rates, local expertise, and unbeatable service. Get ready to make the most of your lending experience. Connect with an Everbank mortgage expert by visiting them online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Everbank is a division of TIAA, FSB, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS, 399-805.
Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
Okay, pumpkin. Who am I? Say, mama. Mama.
Dada.
Alexa, play the Ting Tings.
Tens of millions of songs, one for every moment. Amazon Music Unlimited. For a limited time only, sign up today and receive 3 months for 99 cents at amazon.com/musicunlimited. Automatically renews, cancel anytime.
Holiday scratch-offs from the Florida Lottery offer over $139 million in prizes. Oh, they're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Like Great Aunt Mimi, everyone you know named Tom, your nosy neighbors, your boss, your boss's boss. And with 14.5 million winning tickets, your gift can keep on giving. To the new guy, Stephen, or is it Stefan? Maggie from work, Maggie from Pilates, Maggie with a Y, Mr. Joe. No, the other one. Oh, you get the point. Holiday scratch-offs from the Florida Lottery. Oh, it's your ticket. Must be 18 or older to play. Play responsibly.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. 45-7. All Jags all day long over the Houston Texans. And some angry Texans in the locker room, it sounds like. Tyler Devitt was the first to see it on Twitter, but Brian T. Smith of the Houston Chronicle reporting about Jadeveon Clowney when Clowney was asked if Blake Bortles is improving. Clowney said he's, quote, trash, end quote. So there you go.
Look, Earl Thomas took shots last week. Jadeveon Clowney. People do not know how to deal with a guy who was – you know, a shaky quarterback for most of his career up until this point. He is. If you're waiting on Blake to make mistakes, you may be waiting a long time because he's not playing that kind of football right now. I don't know, Fred, that he'll, it's not that he'll never make a critical mistake in a big game again, but, you know, right now he's got the wind at his back. He's playing with tons of confidence. You talked about eliminating the mistakes. That is the best thing he's doing, but I think it stems from the confidence he has. I think his teammates have shown a belief in him all season long, and he's getting the results now, and he had a running game. He's got an offensive line that can protect him. He's going out there just having fun, and I think he's loving the fact that these guys are taking shots at him because where's Jadeveon Clowney going but home to watch the Jaguars in the playoffs?
That is the truth. I mean, I've always heard keep the wind in your back and the sun in your face. Just smile, baby. Just let everything just trickle on down. And Jadeveon, he has no room, you know, to talk much. He's a guy who drafted high, extreme. He's picked it up over the last year. But the potential has always been there, but you still hadn't performed as, you know, a top pick that you were brought in to be. And hopefully that will change for him. I don't want to talk down on him, but he has to give respect and credit due when it's due. This is the second time around this particular season that, you know, Blake's went out there and he's led his team and he's gotten the win. You were swept. So you don't have any room to make those type comments. And the players, they back up Blake totally 100% wholeheartedly, and they're going to have their quarterbacks back and they're going to hear this comment. You better believe there's a few comments that are going to come out. So that next game next year, the first game next year, it's going to be fireworks.
Let's get to the Everbank stats check. I love that, by the way. That's they never forget, do they?
No, I ain't going to forget. No. You guys, us guys, the media, you're not going to let them forget.
No. We'll remind them if they forget. Everbank stats check, team statistics today. It's all Jaguars from top to bottom. First downs, 25-9. What a game for this Jags defense today. 464 to 186 was the total yardage comparison in favor of the Jags. Rushing yardage, 138 to 87. The Jags led the way there. Passing net, 326 to 99. Penalties. The Texans had 93 penalty yards at halftime of this game. They finished with 14 penalties, 127 yards in the game. Jags had 8 for 54. The Texans punted 11 times today. Leckler had one of those penalties, by the way, and unsportsmanlike conduct. The Jags held the ball for over 33 minutes today and dominated from start to finish. The Texans had the only giveaway in the game, the interception, Barry Church. There were a couple others that were very close. One that was a touchdown that was overturned. Another that Church kind of let drop in front of him. But either way, total domination from all sides of the football today.
No doubt about that. You look at some of the individual statistics. Of course, they all back it up. Blake Bortles, Highest quarterback rating of his career, 143.8, 326 yards on 21 out of 29 passing, the three touchdowns, no interceptions, average 11.2 yards per attempt. So he's not dinking and dunking out there these days. He's taking shots down the field, and you compare that to what was going on with the Texans today. T.J. Yates, 12 out of 31 for a 128, a touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins and an interception. That DeAndre Hopkins score, the only highlight really of the game for the Texans on the ground. Alfred Blue, 12 carries for 55. Lamar Miller went nowhere, 9 for 32. Corey Grant led the Jaguars today with 69 yards on the ground late on only 10 carries, including a long of 20, had a touchdown run. Chris Ivory, workman-like, 17 for 42. T.J. Yeldon grabbed 7 carries of his own for 27 yards. DeAndre Hopkins led the way, as we mentioned, for Houston with 4 catches for 80 yards and a score. Will Fuller, 5 for 44. But on the Jaguar side, Keelan Cole, holy smokes, stepping up big, as did Jadon Mickens, with Marquise Lee going down early in this football game. Cole, 7 catches, 186 yards, and a touchdown, including a 73-yard catch and run. Jadon Mickens probably didn't expect to get many targets at all. He had 5. 4 of them caught for 61 yards, 2 touchdowns there. Yeldon caught 4 out of the backfield for 25 yards defensively for the Jaguars. Calais Campbell has made a season against the Texans in only 2 games. 2 more sacks to go with the 4 that he had in the opener. So that's pretty impressive. Dante Fowler Jr. with 1. Malik Jackson with 1 that he was credited with, Fred. Initially credited with a second one that would have led to a Miles Jack fumble return touchdown, and I was surprised, actually, that they overturned it, but no real defensive highlights. Brian Cushing with the only sack of Blake Bortles, so that was pretty much it for the Houston Texans today.
I love that stat sheet.
It's amazing. Fantastic. Stat sheet. 0 for 7 on third. The Texans were 0 for 7 on third downs in the first half. I think they had 11 yards passing in the first half.
Wow.
I mean, that's just domination.
Well, you look at last week as well, and it was a different circumstance because the Seahawks were in the game.
Right.
I think it's tough, Fred. You speak better this than JP and I could, but when you're up that big at the half, to keep your foot on the accelerator and to have that same momentum in the second half, I think is a hard thing to do. So, you know, 31-0 at the half, the Jags come out, win the second half, 14-7. You're fine with that, but it's just tough to pick right up, I think, after half.
Yeah, I mean, because usually the mindset is you want to come out, you want to run the ball. You want to milk the clock, get some clock runoff. I wanted to see 62. I mean, because the Texans are a team that, you know, they've taken their shots, much like Clowney. You know, and we hadn't been in this position in quite some time. So, you know, when your foot is on their throat, you got to step on it, man. You got to and twist it and grind it. You know what I mean? You got to.
Yeah.
I'm with him, man. Well, you got 31 in the first half. Another 31 would have been beautiful. And it set the regular season mark, matched the franchise high. By the way, Chris Boswell with a 51-yard field goal put Pittsburgh ahead 10-3 over New England. Again, for folks who don't know all the scenarios, that Pittsburgh wins. And the Jags then win their next 2 games. The Jaguars would get the 2 seed in the AFC, at least with a bye. Antonio Brown, though, got hurt. Looked like he was in a lot of pain. Tony, what's the update on what they're saying about him?
It looked like a broken leg what it looked like.
Wow.
Wow. You know, so potentially without him for the rest of the game. We don't know that yet. I don't think it's been confirmed. But, you know, Pittsburgh's got some weapons, but that is – That's biggest weapon in the passing game that you can have.
Okay. Huge hit.
Yeah,
I mean, 15 target guy. He's a huge hit.
No doubt. And if we hear anything or see anything on that, we'll keep you posted. We'll come back to with Player of the Game honors on the Jaguars Radio Network. The Jags get it done today, 45-7 over the Texans. They're in the playoffs for the first time since 2007. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
The only way to top a Jaguars touchdown is with an extra point, right? Well, for 6 big fun points, score 1 touchdown of a vacation with a Carnival cruise from Jacksonville. Sail to the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Bermuda aboard the Way Fun Carnival Elation. Plus, the ship is now sporting 4 new bars and restaurants, including signature Guy Fieri burgers, a new water park, and for the first time ever, more balcony staterooms. Talk about the extra point, Jacksonville? No, that's a 2-point conversion. Visit Carnival.com today to find your cruise and a great deal.
My name's Casey. I'm a JEA wastewater treatment manager. My responsibility to the community is to assure their health and safety when it comes to the environment and also the health and safety of the St. Johns River itself. We treat the water we've all used so we can safely put it back into the environment. Thanks to you, our community's use of reclaimed water is up to 14 million gallons a day and growing.
Find out more about reclaimed water and other conservation tips at jea.com/onewater.
On-airport parking at Jacksonville International Airport will help punt the stress from your travel itinerary. Their garage facilities offer defensive coverage from the weather and are just one 50-yard dash from the terminal. Economy parking rates are salary capped at $5 a day. Extra points for free shuttle service to and from the airport. To learn how on-airport parking options tackle the competition, visit flyjacks.com. That's flyjacks.com.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
When it comes to the entertainment you love, X1 gives you more. Change the way you experience TV with Xfinity X1. Jaguars postgame continues. 45-7, Jags win over the Houston Texans. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Let's get into the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game voting today. I think this is pretty easy.
Yeah, do we have to?
No.
I mean, do we have to say what the rules are and all that?
The rules are you can only pick one guy today. How about that? That's the rule today.
Fair enough.
All right.
And one player out of the 53-man roster, you can only pick one certain guy today. And it's got to be one guy.
And I would even just take one vote. I'll give my half away.
Oh.
Okay. That's confidence. I like it. And yeah. So it's Blake Bortles.
You want to say it again? I was going to actually want to say it at the same time. It's just easy.
Sorry. I jumped the gun. 3, 2, 1.
Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
That was
easy.
Very dramatic.
Yes. Our karaoke is going to be awful.
The only reason Blake wouldn't be player of the game is because he's been hogging the spotlight recently, right? I mean, that's the only reason you wouldn't get him. I wanted to just give some credit to Keelan Cole and Jadon Mickens.
Right.
Phenomenal performances from both of those guys. But as the guys talked about throughout the broadcast, Fred, Blake is putting the ball on the money with these guys. The most impressive throw to me was back foot. You don't always want to throw off your back foot, but when a guy's hot, do what you got to do. And, you know, he's moving to his left, throws off his back foot, and throws it up the left side on another drop in the bucket toss to Keelan Cole. I mean, he was on the mark all day.
Yeah, he's always had that ability. The thing is, when he got in this, you know, his little slump, the confidence beat him up. And keep going back to confidence. And he's making those throws, so he's trusting his arm again. He's moving around. He's moving in the pocket, poised. Accuracy is there. You know, it might be a pass or two that might be a little bit off the mark. But, again, today not a single pass was in any danger whatsoever. But the corner routes that they're running, and he's just dropping it just in the basket of a moving target, just dropping in the basket. And I love every minute of it. So, for me, and for all of us, player of the game for sure.
Slam dunk today, 21 of 29 passing, 326 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, a career high 143.8 rating for Blake Bortles, the Jaguars Radio Network player of the game. We'll look at the injury report. A key wide receiver went down. We'll check that out when we come back. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
Take the guesswork out of gift giving with Pandora Jewelry. Discover specially curated gift sets for everyone on your list, like the Wonderland Bracelet gift set for the woman who likes to sparkle in sync with the season. Find wonderful gifts that are wonderfully thoughtful. Shop Pandora Jewelry now and gift something wonderful. Gift sets available while supplies last. Available at participating retailers. No substitutions.
Visit the Pandora store in Jacksonville at St. John's Town Center and Artsy Abode locations throughout North Florida or visit artsyabode.com.
Technology today is always changing, but one thing has remained consistent for the past decade in Jacksonville. CSI Tech is your partner for finding the top IT talent in Northeast Florida. Across the full spectrum of IT positions, CSI Tech can find the right fit for you. And with their award-winning people, done right philosophy, you can feel confident in the results. Call CSI Tech at 800-582-0828 or go to peopledoneright.com and partner with CSI Tech, part of the CSI companies and proud partner of your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Hey fans, be there live to support the Jaguars at Everbank Field this season. Always buy your Jaguars tickets from our official ticketing partner, Ticketmaster, and the NFL Ticket Exchange. Only Ticketmaster has verified tickets that are 100% guaranteed to get you in every time. Other sellers can only guarantee they'll give you a refund if they sell you a fraudulent ticket. So go with a trusted source and our official partner and know you're going to the game.
Hi, folks. Frank Frangie here for the best barbecue in town. That's Bono's. And now it's the official barbecue of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, you can get Bono's Barbecue at 6 different locations in Everbank Field. You also get Bono's Barbecue at 15 locations all around town with fast, friendly service, clean family restaurants, and that great, great taste of Bono's Barbecue. If you want great barbecue, you want Bono's. And remember this, if there ain't a pit, it ain't legit. That's Bono's.
Who is the Jaguars MVP? At Mellow Mushroom, it all depends on their favorite ingredients. This season, six Jaguar stars will customize their own specialty pizza to be featured on the menu at Mellow Mushroom locations in Jacksonville. A percentage of each pizza sold will benefit a charity of the player's choice. Jalen Ramsey and Mercedes Lewis pizzas are now available. Which Jaguar will create the most valuable pizza? Visit Mellow Mushroom this season and vote with your taste buds for who you think is the winner. Go to mellowmushroom.com for locations near you.
My name is Kelly Mullaney, and I'm a mother of five boys who all play high school sports. As a parent, I worry about them getting injured. Thanks to Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, I don't worry as much because they are at my son's school every day. Their certified athletic trainers are always looking out for the kids and helping to prevent injuries. If something happens, they are right there to provide immediate medical care, working as a team with the JOI doctors. Knowing that my kids get the same type of care as the Jaguars makes me rest a little easier at night.
Jaguars postgame rolls along. Jags headed to the postseason for the first time since 2007. A win today, 45-7 over the Texans. The injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. A couple of guys left the game today. Marquise Lee with an ankle issue out of the game. And that paved the way for Jadon Mickens to have his big day on the offensive side. Peyton Thompson, a foot issue, was on the field, probable to come back. They ruled him out a little bit later in the day. A few other guys were off and on the field. So Marquise Lee left the ball game today. We'll see how severe or what that is moving ahead here as the week goes on. Allen Hurns has been out for the last few weeks with an ankle issue. He's been on the side working on the field, which is a good sign. They haven't IR'd him, so that means they think he's going to be back. So could this – I mean, we don't know exactly, but it could be one of those, hey, one guy's down for a week or two, and here comes Hurns to finish the job here, right?
You know, the good thing is you never know how it's going to happen in those guys' rehab when they're going to be back. And again, it's next man up mentality. And those young guys, they've taken full advantage of it. The one thing positive in all of this is that the defensive the opponents, they're not going to disrespect these players. I mean, because they're not just, you know, having three catches, 5 yards, 6 yards, finishing the game with 40 yards and no touchdowns. These guys are catching bombs.
Yep.
41-yarder, 42-yarder, 73-yarder. So you can't sleep on them. So they have the potential, and they're out there, they're getting it done right now.
Yeah, they don't have the big names, but they have the big production.
Right.
That's what matters, right? Yep. And again, JP, we mentioned in the pregame, it was only like a month ago, maybe, we were talking about the drops and these receivers needing to step up. Apparently, they have really taken that to heart, and I'm sure they were getting good coaching from Keenan McCardell, and they're playing fantastic football right now. And the Jags need them because they really couldn't run the ball today.
Right, and I spoke with Keenan before the game. I was like, man, those young guys look amazing. Like, they're coachable. You know, they're passionate about just even being here. You know, they're just excited to be here. So that's a big piece of it.
From sleeping in the car while he was on the practice squad.
Right. How about that?
To the end zone twice today, Jadon Mickens. What a day. Right. And part of a receiver crew that got it done today for the Jags. 45-7 the final. We'll come back and preview next week's game. The Jags head to California to face the 49ers. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Brooks Rehabilitation provides a system of care to help people achieve their highest level of recovery. Brooks offers inpatient rehabilitation, skilled nursing, outpatient therapy, home health care, assisted living and memory care, research and community programs. No matter the setting, Brooks provides individualized care from expert clinicians and are committed to exceptional service. For more information, visit brooksrehab.org. That's brooksrehab.org.
At EverBank, we're defined by performance. It's not just lip service. We live it and bring it to you every day through our Yield Pledge Promise, which guarantees your money will earn some of the most competitive yields around. And that promise is yours when you open a Yield Pledge checking or money market account. We do the legwork while your money performs. It's your money. Make the most of it. Stop by a local financial center or visit us online at everbank.com/jaguars. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is a division of TIAA, FSB, member FDIC.
Holiday scratch-offs from the Florida Lottery offer over $139 million in prizes. Oh, they're the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Like Great Aunt Mimi, everyone you know named Tom, your nosy neighbors, your boss, your boss's boss. And with 14.5 million winning tickets, your gift can keep on giving. To the new guy, Stephen, or is it Stefan? Maggie from work, Maggie from Pilates, Maggie with a Y, Mr. Jones, no, the other one. Oh, you get the point. Holiday scratch-offs from the Florida Lottery. Oh, it's your ticket. Must be 18 or older to play. Play responsibly.
Committed to the team. Committed to the mission. At Navy Mutual, we're committed to providing high-quality life insurance to members of the military and their families. So our policies have no fine print and no military service restrictions. We don't work on commission. We're nonprofit, so we pass the savings along to our members. Because at Navy Mutual, our highest commitment is to you. Visit NavyMutual.org. Navy Mutual, insuring those who serve.
Final moments of Jaguars postgame. If you're on our flagship station in Jacksonville, 1010 XL, stick around. The scoreboard show is next. That'll be fun. Taking your calls. 355-NFL1, the number. We'll get to those coming up. Next week, the Jags go to Santa Clara, California to face the 49ers. The 49ers currently lead the Tennessee Titans 6-3. That's late in the second quarter. But the Niners are knocking on the door, and about 5.5 minutes left now, facing a third and goal. And Garoppolo's rolling to the right, throwing to the end zone, and he's got a touchdown. So the Niners add another one, which is good news for the Jags over the Titans. So next week, Jags, Niners, that's the next game on the schedule. If you're listening to Doug Marrone, that's all they're worried about.
Right, rightfully so. I mean, I don't think they look ahead. They have to handle what's in front of them, especially with the Niners playing the way that they've played the last 2 weeks against, who was it, Houston. They played well, came away with a win. Mm-hmm. And then this particular game having the lead right now in the Titans. And those teams aren't any slouch teams. Well, I don't know what to say about Houston. Shout out to Davion Clowney, but whatever.
Got some slouch players.
A little slouch, a couple slouches over there. But anyway, the Jags, they just have to worry about themselves, man, right now. Everything else is going to sort itself out.
Yeah, the San Fran team, though, is a different team than they were, obviously, early in the season.
And it's still a West Coast trip, and historically, with just correct. The travel and all that.
Well, hopefully, we all want them to beat the Titans today, but hopefully they beat them in such convincing fashion that it's not going to take much to get the Jags' attention in the film room this week, and I don't think it will. I think they're going to have a lot to play for. They know they have a lot to play for, whether it's simply wrapping up the AFC South with a victory themselves. They want to earn it themselves. Or if Pittsburgh can win this football game, it's 10-10 right now with New England, despite the fact that they look like they're without Antonio Brown for the rest of the game, then they're still potentially playing for a first-round bye. Fred, let me ask you this, because I've heard a few people bring up this, particularly with a young team. Is there any credence to the thought that you're better off not getting a bye to keep the momentum going? I'm a fan of advance me to the divisional round because it's like I just won a playoff game, but what is your thought on that?
I mean, I think whoever said that is crazy, first and foremost. I mean, you want to get rested. You want to get healthy. I mean, this coaching staff, man, they're not going to slack up on these guys. I'm pretty sure they'll have an intense practice or two somewhere sprinkled in that schedule during that bye week, if they get the bye week. So, and then it increases your chances of advancing. Well, it was like 50-something percent or something. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't see why you would be willing to play a wild card game, versus getting a week off.
I'm totally with you.
I don't know how
you
much
always
sense that
want
makes.
The higher seed
of course,
and all that.
Of course.
Right. And just for the simple fact, right? The higher
you
seed
get
you
there,
are,
you
might be
loses.
Hosting
right.
multiple right. games throughout the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. No, let's not settle for number four. No, forget
that. I'm
not
that. In that. Some are in that camp, though.
I mean, they're not going to forget how to play in a week. They might have a slow start, but you know, the way they've been playing, they found a way to make those adjustments and ramp it back up.
Yeah, I think the defense is going to be just fine after a week
hungry.
Off.
Yes, sir.
Fellas.
Real hungry.
So a 4:05 kickoff next week, Eastern time from Santa Clara. Levi Stadium is the site, the Jags and the 49ers. We'll go on the air in Jacksonville locally at 1 o'clock and then 3 o'clock with Countdown to Kickoff on Christmas Eve. The Jags and the Niners coming up next week. Fred, we'll talk to you during the week ahead of this ball game in Week 16 coming up.
Merry Clinchmas.
Very nice. What you did there.
Clever.
Fred Taylor, pride of the Jaguars, running back. For those on our flagship station, stick around. The Scoreboard Show is next. Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Jags Director of Broadcasting, Patrick Cavanaugh. Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. Ashlyn Sullivan directs the show for Jaguars.com. Max Hockman and Dave DeCandis are with Jaguars.com as well. For Jeff Loggeman, Fred Taylor, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good night. Final score, 45-7, Jags over the Texans. Jags are in the playoffs for the first time in a decade. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.